You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Wow, sorry about that. That's George Strait, in case you don't know. It's called Where the Sidewalk Ends, which is normally out in the county. Your mind kept saying, come on, let's go. You started learning what you don't need to know. Where the sidewalk ends and the roads begin. I'll wait for you in the cold dark. Joining me here on a transition Thursday from the great state of Florida is retired Master Gunnery Sergeant Linda Fields. Linda, first of all, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. It's a pleasure to be on your show today.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for doing this. How did you cross paths with Paul Gage?
From my battle buddy, Chief Warrant Officer for Mike Morehouse, that was in Iraq with me. He knew that I wrote resumes and, you know, wanted me to communicate with a few folks and let them know the process and get the word out there that there's help for them.
Well, we need that, as a matter of fact. So so that's the connection. Morehouse connects you to Gage, who connects you to me.
Right.
All right.
Is that a good connection, Mike?
It's really not. And you should probably reevaluate the people that you call friends. So I would, and then the other thing I would tell you is that you should hold on to your wallet very closely as well. So, but nonetheless, it is what it is. And we want to thank you for coming on doing this. Let's find out about you. Born and raised where?
I was actually born in Aylesbury, England in 1965. My parents immigrated in 1966 to the great state of Massachusetts. General Joe Dunford's stomping grounds.
Don't sell me Massachusetts. If I never hear that word again in my life, it'll be too soon. Now, would you categorize yourself as a masshole?
No, not really.
Okay. Checking. No. Could you explain to everybody what that term means?
Well, actually, normally it means how we drive. Because we drive in the breakdown lane.
Okay, stop it. It doesn't mean how you drive. All right, let me break that bad news to you. It has to do with that abrasive Boston, Massachusetts whole attitude that this is the center of the universe. All right.
Well, don't you know, I mean, you said I'm from Florida, but I'm actually living in Virginia. And don't you know, in Massachusetts, Cape Cod is Florida.
Okay.
Western Mass.
Okay. See, this is why we don't go down this road. I thought you were in Florida. What's the 407 area code?
Oh, I used to live down in Florida.
So there was a reason. Okay, so you're not in Florida anymore.
Right.
Gage is in Florida, so I put two and two together, came up with 13, thought it was four, and so we're in Virginia.
I'm actually in a little place called Dumfries, Virginia, right outside Quantico.
Dumfries. I lived there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, back in the day when I was teaching at the basic school. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
great.
I'm a native of Dumfries. It's a beautiful place, a little hilly and whatnot, but a lot of trees. So you grew up in Massachusetts. How does the Marine Corps get on your radar?
Actually, I think my father put too many movies on the TV for me, like A Bridge Too Far, Dirty Dozen, Sands of Iwo Jima, and he fed me Guinness, and so, you know, I turned out great from there.
So you're in high school, did you join out of high school? When did you join the Marine Corps?
I went to the Marine Corps the day after I graduated from high school.
So you're motivated. What year was that?
1983, and my dad was British Army, grandfather was World War II British Army. Great-grandfather was British Army, fought in the Boer War. So it's kind of in the blood.
So it's in the blood, and you decided. So now, why the Marine Corps? You have all the services to choose from. As a as a young person, what attracted you to the Marine Corps?
When I first met the Marine recruiter, it was the camaraderie as a poolee. And, you know, he made sure we graduated high school and he stayed with us. My brother did join the Air Force, and I was actually he tried to poach me into the Air Force, the Air Force recruiter, but I told him, no way. I'm a Marine, going to be a Marine through and through. So, but yeah, the recruiter was awesome. I actually went through two recruiters because I was delayed entry for a year. So, you know, the concern for us to make sure that we, you know, graduate high school, because back then, you know, the women, we had to graduate high school to get in the Marine Corps. That was one of the standards.
All right. Now, can I ask you a couple questions about being a female Marine before we talk about the, and then I want to talk about your career.
Okay.
You came in the Marine Corps, and life has changed for female Marines.
Yes, it has.
Was it, when you were in the 80s, was it simply a matter of course that you would be hit on by people in your chain of command as a junior female Marine?
Not in the beginning, no. Basically, they treated me like a little sister when I first went in. And then after I started getting promoted, then that's when I started getting hit on by the higher-ups. And stuff, so you know, you just learn how to deal with it. Just say no.
just like the commercial.
Yeah, that's why I had such a successful career. I just stayed the course, you know. And back then, in those days, they walked right up to you and say you had no business being in the Marine Corps, you know. But I didn't listen to that. I just did what I had to do and got promoted, and you know. 26 years later, Master Guns at the Pentagon over everybody.
Wow.
In my MOS, two MOSs actually. So it was great. It was a really good ride. But you get that in any occupation, you know, what you're talking about. You get that in the corporate world, federal world. It doesn't matter. It's there.
You don't think it was any worse in the Marine Corps than it was in the corporate world?
No, I do not. Nope.
All right. Interesting. Has the Marine Corps made sufficient strides relative to the workplace for women?
Yes, it has. There's more women in the Marine Corps, obviously, and the males are more used to us. And, you know, when I first came in, I didn't have a rifle in boot camp, and I've been to Desert Shield, Desert Storm with a rifle, Iraq. You know, it was, I'd never had the initial training, so it just made it harder for me when I went to, like, the rifle range and the pistol range, where the males got the training right out of boot camp. I never had an obstacle course, confidence course, none of that. So when I got into the fleet and I had to do all that stuff, you know, it was a little bit harder than it was for the males that had already done that stuff in boot camp. So now that they get to do all that, you know, they're up to par with it. It's not like they get to the fleet and it's the first time they've ever seen an obstacle course like I did in NCO school in Iwakuni.
So a better place.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I just got a text message. Go massholes. So you either have fellow Massachusetts people, or other than that, there must be personal fans of you and rooting for you today. What MOS in the Marine Corps?
I was a 7-Eleven Expeditionary Airfield Technician. I loved my job. One of the first females in the job.
What is that? What is that? I didn't even know what that is.
Oh, yeah, because we were really small. There's only like 350 of us. And we build the runways with aluminum, what's called matting. I'm sure a lot of Marines can relate to working parties laying matting out 29 palms.
Yeah.
Out in different deployed areas. And we build the runways and we light them up. We paint them. And we install what's called resting gear, so they land jets on the runway like they would on an aircraft carrier. We have the arresting gear, the cable, and we catch tail hook aircraft. And you know, a lot of people don't know about us because we can't make mistakes out there.
Right.
You know, if we do, the pilot dies, the air crew.
Right.
You know, we lose a plane, so we got to be Johnny on the spot every time. Every time we got to make sure the gear is good to go, and a vast amount of experience in engineering, mechanical, hydraulics, electrical, you know. So, yeah, it's a great MOS if you're mechanically inclined, which fortunately for me I was. So.
So when we when we're around the airfield and we see all you guys standing around with your hands in your pockets, you've already done all that stuff and you're just hanging out making sure it works right?
Well, actually, normally we're up before you're up. An hour before airfield opens, and we're usually out there sometimes 2, 3 o'clock in the morning after air out's closed. And if something goes wrong, you know, we can only get on the runway at certain times, so we have to actually wait till the runway closes down, flight ops is down, so we can get out there and do all our mechanical, you know, inspections and checks. So that's, you know, it's a great job, though. It really is.
All right. My guest this morning is Master Gunnery Sergeant Linda Fields. She a descendant of the British Army and a recently retired United States Marine. When did you actually retire, Linda?
I retired in June of 2012, June 30th, 2012.
Okay. And so how did you get into the resume writing business?
Well, I was at the Pentagon, and I like to write, so a few people asked me to write their resumes, so I wrote their resumes, corporate resumes there, and then they started getting jobs, and when I retired, I got hired as a federal resume writer with CERCO to write resumes for veterans, and I did that for a year, and I really, really liked it, liked helping the veterans, and CERCO lost the contract, so I jumped over and I got a job with the VA, mm-hmm. worked in assessments, recruiting and placement, and learned how they scored the assessments. And the VA was, it was pretty rough. Their acceptance of veterans was more like I was a threat to them.
I'm trying to like the VA today. I was not liking them yesterday.
That's not gonna happen talking to me. I was specifically told that I had to get all my VA appointments after work or on the weekends. You know, so I stayed in there for a year and got the knowledge. And the whole time I set up my company, built a foundation, and then I just walked out one day after a year and said, I'm done, and just continued to write federal resumes and corporate resumes and help service members as much as possible to get them to the interview, which is, you know, what the resume does. So
the resume is designed to open the door to the interview, and then you've got to then go in and you got to do your thing.
Right. I mean, writing a resume it's a process over time. It takes me a good 20 to 40 hours to write a good resume for someone.
Wow.
I've written from the janitor to the geospatial specialist. I see the transition classes that, you know, they don't give that much time to writing a resume.
Right.
And I've seen what comes out of there. And, you know, unfortunately, at that point, the service member has applied for jobs. And if you put out a bad resume, those companies can pull those resumes back up and compare them. And if you send out a bad resume and a good resume, they can turn around and actually question your integrity. I've had that happen with a couple of folks. So you really don't want to put out a bad resume. You just don't.
You know what? I'm coming to certain conclusions about the Marine Corps' TAP program, and I don't think it's very good. And this is my take on the whole thing. There's a lot of classes that you could give me on a DVD, right?
Mm-hmm.
That I can watch on my own. But there's some things that you know, first of all, there ought to be a class on dealing with the VA. Hey, boys and girls, this is what you're going into, right? You're going to go into a huge bureaucracy that is not very good at delivering services a lot of times. But you got to hang with it, right?
Right.
These are the different ways you can plug in. You can plug into Big VA. You can plug into the Vet Center. You can go to your county veteran service officers. One of the things we would recommend is that you go and buy a beer for a few people down at the Marine Corps League, because guess what? They've been dealing with your VA for a while. They can tell you who to stay away from. They can tell you who will help you. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like the coordinating instructions of, yeah, these are the rules. Let me tell you what you need to know. Let me arm you with the knowledge that you need to have to make it work,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Right.
And I think the same thing ought to be true relative to resume writing, okay? And they know they give you a big, fat book that has a gazillion examples in it, blah, 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 blah. But I'll tell you what you just said, well, the things you just said, it takes you how many hours to write a good resume?
Between 20 and 40. Between 20 and 40 hours.
20 or 40, and you're a professional resume writer.
Yes, I am.
Wow. You know, and the rest of us, yeah, the rest of us are just schmoes using somebody's format or copying somebody's somebody's example. But I do believe that there's a lot of stuff that, you know, that you can put on a DVD, and you know, we'll all sign a paper that says, yeah, I know, you know, it's my responsibility to look at it. And then there's other things, you know, you can, you know, hand out the form, make them sign it, and say, yeah, I understand. You know, VSI converts, you know, at this point, and if I don't sign up for it, I lose that benefit. I got it. You know, so they can check the blocks and cover their own asses, but, you know, you need certain information. Another thing I would tell you, and I'd be curious about your response to this, Linda, is if you're a combat veteran, it's important that you find something that you like to do, because if you don't, just like your tongue, right, when you lose a filling, where does your tongue go constantly till you get it fixed? Goes to the filling hole, and you can't keep it away. So if you're a combat veteran and you're doing something that you don't particularly enjoy, where does your brain tend to go?
Well, you know, Mike, with that, I'd like to speak on that because, you know, I worked the corporate sector. And I dealt with some incompetency. They lost the contract. And, you know, 70 veterans went unemployed because of that.
Right.
And the people that lost the contract weren't veterans and didn't seem to care. And then, you know, they got our life's blood out of us. I mean, if we stepped up from the desk, we had to sign out. We went to use the bathroom. You know, they got their bottom line. That's all that mattered in the corporate sector. And then I jumped over to the federal sector working at the VA. And the guy next to me wasn't getting any work. And because I busted my butt every day, my inbox just kept piling up. So that's how that works. And this guy's on a smoke break every 10 minutes, adding up to 30 minutes from his walk to his desk down to outside the front of 810 Vermont. So, you know, there are some great people in the VA. And then there's these folks that have been there since the one that introduced me came up to me and said, hey, I've been here since 1967. I said, well, do you have a name? But it's so important that they let me know, oh, I've been here since 1967, and they talk about retirement, and not about the veteran. And that's what I saw. So for me, as a veteran with PTS, as a veteran with a TBI, I knew my triggers in that I just really couldn't handle working for a Prada devil for a year. You know, after a year, I said, okay, I need to take control of me and what's, you know, affecting me. So I set up my business, and I work from home. And it's just a lot better for me because I can control my environment more. And, you know, basically obviously I'm my own boss. So if I need a break, if I need to walk outside, you know, I can do it. And if I'm having a bad day, I can push it off and I can work late at night if I desire. I can work on the weekends. So, you know, it was all about passion for me as writing. And I said, you really need to find your passion because your passion is that thing that you sit down and you're doing this job and you look up and you don't know where the time's gone. It's like 5 o'clock. You haven't had lunch. You're like, oh my God, you know, that is your true passion. And that's what happened to me. I would write all day long and then realize, wow, you know, it's like 5 or 8 o'clock at night. And, I loved it so much. And that's what kind of pushed me in that direction. And being a certified resume writer, seeing the need, that's, you know, that's how I ended up where I'm at today with my company.
My guest this morning is retired Master Gunnery Sergeant Linda Fields. What's the name of your company, Linda?
The Professional Resume Writer.
The Professional Resume Writer?
Yes.
Are you on the website? Do you have a website?
No, I just have an email. It's the Professional Resume Writer at AOL.com.
All right.
And if you send me an email, I'll look at what you have and give you an honest, you know,
careful.
I don't worry about that. My dog. what an honest estimate of the resume.
You'll give it in terms of an opinion, and then will you also send them what it would cost them to have you fix it?
Yes. Yeah. The basic cost is $200.
All right, $200, and you'll do their resume.
Right. Right.
All right. And that is the professional writer at AOL.com.
the professional resume writer.
I knew that. I was just making sure you were paying attention.
Sorry, it's the professional resume writer 1775 at AOL.com.
Are there any spaces between that?
No.
All right. I'm going to put that up on our website. If you go to www.allmarineradio.com, there's a tab entitled Show Notes, and actually there's a tab entitled Transitions, and so it'll go on the transition page. So anybody that is looking for transition information, there's a whole bunch of interviews on that page that we put up there, and it'll go there anyway.
Okay.
So I want to go back. So you have the same experience that a lot of veterans have, which is I'm trying to find something and I can't deal with the frustration that I get if I'm not doing something that I like. It really animates my anxiety, it animates my demons, and I can't live like that. And so you found something that you love and you're doing that now. So I would say that needs to be a class in transition, because it's really, really important. Like I'll tell you, I have the best job in the world.
You know,
I have the best job in the world. I get to tell stories about Marines, talk about the culture of the Marine Corps. I do that 5 days a week. I mean, how cool is that? Today I'm talking to you. Yesterday, didn't even know you.
That's for you, right? Found out. It took you time to get to this level, though.
I'll tell you what, but I hear it from guys all the time. Charlie Linville, staff sergeant that went to the top of Mount Everest.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, I had to find something that I enjoyed and that was my passion that could push out all this other pain that was in my life, you know, the frustration of not being able to continue my career as a Marine, the frustration of losing a leg, the frustration of dealing with the medications that they're giving me for nerve damage in my body, you know, the frustration of putting on weight and getting out of shape, so it's like layer on top of layer on top of layer.
What
saves you? What saves you is getting up every morning and living a purpose-filled life, which I think makes sense if you're a Marine.
Right.
And the question, but you got to find that. I would link that very specifically to post-combat related mental health, because if you're unhappy, right? If you're unhappy, you start to go to a bad place, and that's not good. And we all know that.
Right.
Interesting. Right. All right. Let's talk about resume writing. All right. We have to take a quick break. So we're going to take about a 3 minute break, Linda, and then we come back and I want to go through the basics of resume writing, if you wouldn't mind. And then we'll go through common mistakes and then we'll take whatever email questions that people have for us as we kind of work through resume writing on a transition Thursday. My guest, retired Master Gunnery Sergeant Linda Fields. She is a professional resume writer, has her own business, and you can, if you want some help, she'll give you an opinion. Her email address is theprofessionalresumewriter1775@aol.com. No spaces in between any of that, right?
Right.
All right.
Correctly.
All one word. We're going to take a break. All Marine Radio continues on a Thursday on the All Warrior Radio Network. Don't go anywhere.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montel Williams. During my 22 years of military service, I had the honor of working beside many brave service women. They are the fastest growing population of veterans, and they can be a great asset to your company. Women veterans are trained to take initiative, adapt to change, and they're quick to learn. If you're an employer or a woman veteran, call the U.S. Department of Labor at 866-487-2365 or visit careeronestop.org.
Life in the military is one of service and sacrifice. For some, that sacrifice includes physical and mental injuries or trauma that will affect their lives forever. Please join with the American Legion in recognizing and supporting our wounded warriors and their families. We need to show them that we truly are a grateful nation. We cannot allow them to be forgotten and left to fend for themselves.
On Veterans Day, the nation honors the men and women who risk their lives to protect our freedom. Social Security does its absolute best to honor veterans and active duty members of the military every day by giving them the respect they deserve. For those who return home with injuries, Social Security is a resource they can turn to. If you know any wounded veterans, please let them know about Social Security's Wounded Warriors website. The Wounded Warriors website answers many commonly asked questions and shares other useful information about disability benefits, including how veterans can receive expedited processing of disability claims. Benefits available through Social Security are different than those from the Department of Veterans Affairs and require a separate application. The expedited process is used for military service members who become disabled while on active military service on or after October 1, 2001, regardless of where the disability occurs. Learn more by visiting www.socialsecurity.gov/woundedwarriors.
I had PTSD. Once I was back from Iraq, I was distant from everybody in my family. We had a reunion of our unit, and you'd hear these spouses say, "Is your husband doing that? My husband's doing that too. I thought it was just us." And really understanding that, hey, this is a common experience.
I learned more to listen to what he was saying, and that made it easier for me to understand where his pain was coming from.
Warriors should know that resources are available. Learn more at realwarriors.net.
All of us want to make a difference. As veterans, we committed to protect our country. We served and sacrificed for the things that mattered most. Those experiences shaped our lives. Now we're husbands, wives, parents, and friends. And sometimes we forget that the biggest challenge can be asking for support. The Veterans Crisis Line is here for veterans. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. It matters.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Five minutes after 8 here on a Thursday, Transition Thursdays on All Marine Radio, as Thursdays always are. It's what we talk about. Joining me, or continuing with me, is a retired Marine Master Gunnery Sergeant, and her name is Linda Fields, and she has a company called The Professional Resume Writer, and you can reach her at The Professional Resume Writer 1775, no spaces in any of that, at AOL.com, and charges $200 to do your resume. So let's talk about resumes right now, Linda. And give me the basic challenge of military people, Marines in particular, relative to writing a resume.
Well, first thing is the transition of the skills. I actually had a tanker come up to me, and he said, he challenged me that I couldn't write his resume because he was a tanker, and I said, sure, I can. What I do is I just take the fitness reports and I go through the fitness report, or any performance evaluation, any awards that they have, and I write the resume and I take those skills, and I'll just throw one out there, like they'll put down, you know, corporal's course, NCO school, and how it interprets to the civilian sector as, you know, beginner leadership course, intermediate leadership courses, advanced leadership courses, or even the seminars. You just change the verbiage, like executive seminars, not first sergeant seminar. Nobody knows what first sergeant seminar is.
Right.
So you take it and I take all the words and I, you know, spin it into civilian speak. So, you know, that hiring manager, when they read it, they can understand what the person does.
Is that the fatal flaw of Marine resume writers? Is that that translation? Because I was told once, in fact, I think it's Mike Frazier, you know, sent me his resume, and to break it down Barney style, he sent me a note that he said, "Hey Mac, there's certain words that you need to embrace," and. Mm-hmm. He explained it to me. He said, "You administered over X number of people." He said, "That's an important word because they'll understand that." You had a different number were under your operational control. And then he said, "You operated over a certain geographical area. Even if you were, you know, even if you were at Camp Pendleton, you supervised operations in a certain region." That translates. And then you had X number of people that you directly supervised. And he said, those are the terms that will resonate. So let me ask you, Linda, what are the terms that resonate in terms of writing resumes as a military person?
Okay, well, you said it, Mike. It's the numbers. The numbers mean a lot, like providing service for 45,000 active duty beneficiaries, you know,
right.
Leading military, you know, you just can't say leading military personnel. How many personnel did you lead? How much money was in that budget you managed? How much did that equipment cost that you maintained? Numbers in a resume gives you credibility to that hiring manager. And without those numbers, you know, it just turns out to be fluff. So you're trying to sell yourself with these words. The numbers are what kind of grounds that resume because they stand out. The other thing is tailoring the resume to the job announcement, getting those keywords in there. You know, that is the other issue. A lot of folks take the resume, they get it written, and they throw it out there, and they apply for a job, and it goes in a, you know, the circular file because they're running these resumes through a computer and find out what percentage of keywords that are in the resume that were in the job announcement because they get thousands of resumes, and they want to make their job, the hiring manager wants to make their job much easier by slimming it down from maybe 1,000 resumes to maybe 50 resumes, and then break it down from there with spelling errors, qualifications, things like that, to actually, in the federal world, normally certs can be 10 people. If you make the cert, the list of that goes to the selection official from the hiring manager. So they're taking thousands of resumes, and they're narrowing it down to 10, 20 people. Those words are very important that you're talking about, and exactly that. You need to put a number to those words. And the acronyms, take the acronym, spell it out the first time because they don't know what, you know, civilians don't know what these acronyms mean. They just don't. And it might be the simplest acronym out there, like, you know, Marshall Pact. They don't know what that is. IPAC. They don't know what that is. So you need to spell it out, Integrated Personnel Administration Center, things like that. That all helps to sell yourself to the hiring manager, because that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to sell yourself.
Interesting, Linda, the way you articulate the keywords in the job application, and then if they're used in the resume or the cover letter, and then the number of words that are, you know, that's really the first wicket. And so, you know, because one of the things you hear constantly is, I apply for all these jobs, I don't hear anything, you know, back other than a rejection letter. You know, and it just gets so demoralizing. So the first step is understanding the lay of the land, the battlefield, if you will, and then organizing your resume, you know, to get you a shot at least at a sit down interview.
Right, you have like source documents, like your fit reps, like I said, your awards, all that stuff. I sort that out, and I start writing a resume. Resumes I've seen, I don't know if you want to talk about mistakes that I've seen on resumes.
Sure,
but
absolutely.
I've seen quite a few. When I got the resume, the command photo at the top of the resume, I've seen resumes with flowers on them.
I've seen
resumes with the headshot, people posing. I've seen that. I mean, you can't have any of that on a resume. One thing that I have noticed, like folks come to me a year, 2 years later and they said, hey, I keep applying for federal jobs and I can't get to the next step. And when I look at it, first thing I'll do is I'll look at the resume. And I have had some folks where it wasn't the resume. It was actually what was uploaded in USA Jobs. We want to talk federal employment. This one Marine, he did not upload his VA letter or his SF-15. USA Jobs can be kind of quirky like that. And he'd gone a year without any, he never made the cert. So got that straightened out. Asked, hey, what do you got uploaded in there? He submitted his resume, and within 2 weeks, he got called up for an interview. So, that system is very, very quirky, and you have to hit all the wickets in USA Jobs. But back to the resume mistakes, you know, the hiring managers, sometimes when you put your resume out there, they'll try and call you, and you'll have an old phone number on your resume. DSN. They don't understand DSN. You need to have a phone number where the hiring manager can contact you and a good home address. Like when you get out, where are you going to plant the flag? That should be your address. They should have access to you. That is so important. Because, you know, you finally get on the cert and then the person can't contact you and it right down to the email. And the email, I have seen some crazy emails out there that I know that was the issue with the resume. I had one Marine had Budweiser6pack@gmail.com. I had another Marine that had poledancer69@AOL.com. And then I had this other Marine, he had his initials and his last name at hotmail.com. And if you put it together, it said jackass. And I told him, I said, look, you got to change those personal email accounts. You have to have something professional on there because the hiring manager will see that. You wouldn't hire yourself. You know, because each resume that I write it like I'm the one going for the interview. So that's huge right there. And that's just at the top of the resume. So, and then obviously security clearance, you want to make sure you put your security clearance down there. If you've had a secret clearance, you're out, it's expired, just put obtainable. Because, you know, these companies are going to run another clearance on you. If you have a clearance, some companies do, they'll run their own clearance on you. They won't accept that DOD clearance. So, you know, all these things are very important. I said uploading the SF-15 if you have a disability with your VA letter. You know, not listing your supervisor's name and phone number, red flag to HR. You don't put that supervisor's name down there, they're going to think that you really got fired from that job, especially if it's the current job that you're in. So you need to list your supervisor's name, phone number, point of contact. Understandable that the resumes I do are 10 years back. So 10 years ago, you may not know what your supervisor's phone number is now, but you should know a name. I've had people that said, oh, I don't know what the name was of my supervisor. And it's like, okay, you know, I explained to them that HR is going to look at that like there was a problem there with your employment. And 10 years ago, you can't put contact unknown, or you can also don't have to put a phone number all the time. You can put an email down there. Huge suggestion is your supervisor should not be on your reference list because that's just doubling it up. Your reference list of folks that you want called to vouch for you, you should have minimum 2 personal references, minimum of 2 professional references, up to 5, I would say, a way for the hiring manager to contact them. I got asked, why do you put personal references down? And I said, well, the hiring manager wants to know what you're like when you're not on the job. That's what those references are for. So So, you know, they really, really dig, because when they hire you, it costs money to hire you. Another thing is obviously.
Hold on, I have an email question for you. My guest this morning, Linda Fields, we're talking, she's a professional resume writer. We're talking resumes. If you have a question or comment, send a text to her boss, and people have already been texting and sending out the love. But you can send a text to 714-661-8107. You can email live.allmarineradio@gmail.com, or you can give us a call at 714-884-4294. And email question is this. Mac, great information today relative to resumes. I'm embarrassed to say I've been taking notes the whole time. I thought I knew some of this stuff, but obviously I don't. What do we do if we have a former supervisor that we did cross paths with because it happens, and you don't want to use them as a reference? What do you do? So, Linda, you just gave an example of red flag. If that isn't on the resume. So if you have somebody and you're not confident what they'll say, what do you
what do you do?
Yeah, what do you do?
Well, normally in a work environment, you have more than one person that could be your supervisor that would vouch for you. This is one way to get over that. And I've seen it at the VA where I had a supervisor, but I had this other person that was supervisor/coworker that would definitely vouch for me. So I'll put that person's name down.
As what?
As
your supervisor, as a coworker, how do you label that?
I put down supervisor. I'd let her know, hey, you get a call, it's going to be for a job for me, you know, and I would set the stage for that. Say, I put you down as my supervisor, because half the time she was supervising me anyway.
Okay.
And she agreed to it. So okay. That's how I handled that.
All right, so you make sure that they're read in on it, and then you go ahead and you do it.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense.
There are other people around you that will vouch for you. There are. You know, besides that fraud or devil supervisor you might have, that, you know, and just try not to burn bridges. Try really hard not to burn bridges. No matter how upset you are in a job, you want to move on.
But it does happen. Sometimes you're sideways with somebody, and that's why people tend to do what they do on resume.
And what I've done too, if the job was older, like we're talking 2006,
mm-hmm.
And they said don't contact, I've talked to the client and said, hey, look, let's just put unknown there for contact. It looks better, you know, if it was an older one. But if it's a real current one, look around you and see who's there that would vouch for you. And I've been in that situation. And I totally understand. Or if there's absolutely no way out, you get this supervisor that's just, you know, really hard to work with, go in there and talk to them. You know, let them know what's up, and ask them if they would vouch for you. Just point blank them. If there's no other way out of it, that would be like last resort.
Okay, then I need
a look. And you know what?
I need your help.
There is another thing too. If they get called and they say, no comment, or I can't comment on them, that's really bad.
Right.
We found that out, that is, you know, if they say they won't comment on your work, that's not good. So, yeah, try and, you know, I'm not saying kiss someone's ass, but basically do what you got to do for you.
I got told a long time ago, Mac, there's nothing wrong with kissing a little ass as long as you don't like it. And he became a lieutenant general in the Marine Corps. So
there you go.
Exactly.
Right.
So another email for you. Wow. Interesting stuff. Is there what does she think about different resume writing programs out there that we see on the internet? You put information out. They form it for you and put it in a resume. What is she? What are your thoughts about those, Linda? I mean, it sounds like a shortcut that kind of garbage in, garbage out.
It does. The interesting part about that is the quality of it. Your resume should be written to you and not templated. It should not be templated. obviously there's certain things that need to be in the resume, and that's the thing I do, and I think that's why I have such a high success rate of people getting interviews, because when that hiring manager picks up that resume, they know that it's not a bunch of fluff in there, and it's strong. It's about the person. It's like, hey, this is the person you want for this job. And so online, when you go in there and start filling out those things, it's just it sometimes it's just not written to you, you know. And also those hiring managers, when they see that stuff, they know those templates. They know those templates. And we were told to avoid that. You know, you have to write for that client. And it makes it genuine and it gives it credibility when you're writing for that client. Also, those templated resumes that you see online, they don't necessarily know not to use certain words like assisted and, there's other words too, like, served as, responsible for. Those words are a lot of fluff. And the thing about it is, in the Marine Corps, you don't assist anything. You do the job. Assisted should never be in your resume, you know. They may throw those words in there for you, and they shouldn't be in there. So it's all about credibility. It's about the numbers. It's about that hiring manager looking at resume and knowing, yeah, this is the person that is – qualified for this job. And Mike, can I talk about qualifications for a minute?
No. Of course you can. Come on, man.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You don't want me to.
Go ahead. It's all Marine Radio, man. We do whatever the hell we want to. So, talk about, when you were just talking about that, we don't assist anybody in anything. One of the things that, look, if you've been in the Marine Corps, you don't need to pad what you've done. As a young person especially,
right,
you are going to have more responsibility. You are going to have been more places than just about anybody your age, okay? And so if you're going looking for jobs, you have a ton of stuff that you could put in there. But I think it's important, again, you know, we like to write our own resumes and we spend all this time. Spend $200 and get a pro to do it, because just the stuff that Linda has said this morning, keywords from the job description ought to be in the resume and the cover letter. That they do that by computer. You're not getting through that wicket, okay, if you don't do that stuff. All right, other things she's asked you about, you know, the job bank and USA, you know, USA Jobs. Are you in that? Are you in that in the right way? You know, and then those stupid nonsense of personal email accounts and Budweiser, whatever the hell it is. Come on, it's like I feel like I'm on ESPN. Come on, man. You're going to actually put that in a resume and think that somebody's going to hire your dumbass? You know, so all this is worth, all right, I would tell you, the 200 to go ahead and get your foot in the door. And, again, I would especially emphasize to something that you want to do, something that's taking you someplace towards something you want to do. So having said that, Linda, go ahead.
Okay, qualifications. Here's one. I have had people that had loaned jets, and they had turned around, and they said, okay, I want to be a geospatial specialist. You cannot turn a Titanic like that. It doesn't work that way. If you're in a career field and you want to change career fields, the key to that is to go to school. Go to school. And then you can work on that second career field. But once you get out, if you get out, like myself, I was a expeditionary airfield, built runways. Believe me, it was really hard to put my experience down on a resume and realize, oh, I'm mechanical, I'm electrical, hydraulics. You know, so my job didn't translate well in the Marine Corps on a piece of paper. I did not have a engineering training certificate to say that I'm a full-blown engineer. I had a certificate from 1983 with a bunch of coffee stains on it that no employer would even care about. So when I got out, I got my honorable discharge, and I had these skills, and I didn't have anything really to say that I had done this for 30 years. So except the resume and how I wrote it and how I took my fit rep and the source documents and sold myself to the hiring manager. Now, with that said, my key to my transition was I was a career planner. I was a staff in CYC. I worked administration. I wrote resumes. So all that went on my resume. And that's what actually got me my first job, the career planning, 3 years, vice the whole 30 years I was in the Marine Corps. So amazing that one thing got me that job.
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting, Linda, when we had a guy named Colby Williamson on, and he's the recruiting manager, for the military recruiting manager at Amazon, former Marine,
mm-hmm.
Fought in Fallujah. And he said, you know, he said, I would tell, you know, most Marines to consider the 3 years after they get out of the Marine Corps. And he said, and it should be 3 to 4. He said, as another duty station that you've got to go to build your resume to get the job that you want. So ultimately, I might want to be a, you know, crane operator at the Port of Long Beach. You know, those guys make good money. They move those monstrosity. So, but where do I have to go? Well, the best school is in Galveston, Texas. Mm-hmm. And another port city, but I don't really want to live and work in Galveston, but I'm going to go there for 3 years because I can get in there. The cost of living is what it needs to be. And this is the, you know, here's the stipend I get. It all works for me. And then I'm going to go get my credential there. And then I'm going to apply to Long Beach and with the intent of moving to Long Beach and get that. And I thought that was a really, really smart way to look at it in that, look,
right.
We know you want to wind up in Long Beach, but if you go down there right now with zero and you talk about credentials, you're not going to get that job. And so you've got to
right.
set yourself up, and that might entail going to a city that you don't want to live in, and or it might mean going and getting schooling, you know, to validate, you know, other parts of your resume. And by doing that, then you put yourself in a position where you become extremely competitive with your military service and extremely hireable. And so
right.
to me, the way you approach this whole transition thing relative to credentials and schooling. And I would tell you this, anybody who's, you know, if you go to where we're going to post Linda's email address on All Marine Radio's website, if you go there and Colby Williamson's interviews on the transition page, the other one that you should listen to is a Marine by the name of Justin Smith. He talked ins and outs of the GI Bill like I don't even know about. And one of the things he said, and this is going to be like, well, duh. He said, hey, look, shop all your credits around. He said, when you get out of the Marine Corps, if you don't have a 4-year degree, you know, you've gone to, you know, leadership schools, you've done MCIs, all those count. He said, but if you don't shop
right.
them, if you don't shop them around, he said, I'll give you an example. I'm from Ohio. I sent that to Ohio State. They offered me 28 credits to go to school there. Another private school in Ohio offered me 108. I went there as a senior. I went for 1 year, got my BA, and then I went to law school all on the GI Bill.
Right, right. And these schools, they know you got money, too.
Right.
So they'll bend over backwards.
So all that part of – right. All that part of what you're talking about relative to transitioning and doing it smarter – and making sure that you get yourself pointed in the direction that, you know, is part of your passion, is what you really want to do. And so, you know, whether it be that 3 to 4 years of I got to get the right licenses, credentials, or whatnot, that's part of my transition, and I should look at it as such. My guest this morning, Linda Fields, retired Master Gunnery Sergeant, Expeditionary Airfield Technician. We've learned what that is. Didn't even know what the hell that was when we started the program. And she has a resume writing service. It's called you can find it. You can email her, and she'll write your resume for $200. It's called The Professional Resume Writer, 1775 at AOL.com. Talk to me about the more mistakes that we make, Linda.
One big one I've seen is that people go on USA Jobs, and I know I'm kind of leaning towards USA Jobs a lot.
It's all right. We hear about it all the time.
Right, right. And, you know, just to let you know, a federal resume can run between 4 and 8 pages. Corporate resume is 2 pages. A lot of people say, oh, it should be 1, but it's 2 pages. You got 20, 30 years, even 4 years of service in the Marine Corps to expand that on the resume and sell yourself. You're going to have a 2-page resume. The only time I've ever written a 1-page corporate resume was for a college student. That was it. It was a 1-pager. So it's 2 pages, federal resumes between 4 and 8 pages, corporate resumes bullet format. Don't put your awards on there unless they're like civilian awards, because nobody cares that you got a Navy Marine Corps Achievement Medal. Nobody cares about your good conduct. They won't care about any of that stuff. What they will care about is if you've done the DTS, Defense Travel System. I'll tell you a short story. I had a Air Force guy. He was responsible for General Biden's Air Force Two plane, and he just retired, and I wrote his resume, and I put that he managed DTS for the crews traveling, the air crews traveling. He got snatched up for a job on Quantico. Like, he retired on a Friday, and Monday he started work. And that is because I pulled DTS out of his performance evaluation and slapped it on his resume, and someone saw it, that we want this guy. So that was a huge success story for him, because he was tired of working on jets, but he could have easily, planes, wide bodies, whatever. He could have easily gone to Lockheed Martin or Northrop Grumman, but he didn't want to do that anymore. So he had that experience in his background, even though his job was to work on the vice president's plane to land a job in DTS. He reached out and wanted to be that guy for people to come to and use that as a catalyst to get employed when he got out. But qualifications is important. I mean, you go on USA Jobs, you look at those duties, you know if you're qualified for that or not. And then when you start going through the questionnaire and you start reading it and you start not being so truthful, you're wasting your time, because you're not qualified for that job. And you won't be able to talk the talk when you get to the interview portion, if you even get to the interview portion. So you'll know once you pull up a job on USA Jobs, say it's program manager, and you start looking at it and you say, you know what? You need to decide, hey, this is above my head. So maybe I need to step it down a little bit. You know, maybe I need to be a professional assistant or an executive assistant, or, you know, gosh, there's all kinds of jobs in USA Jobs. They have people that manage the locks in for the dams, you know. There's a whole bunch of jobs out there, but you don't want to burn yourself out looking for them. I'd say, you know, when you serve USA Jobs, apply for at least between 3 to 5 jobs a week. Just don't burn yourself out on it. What I tell people when I write their resume, test the resume, put it out there and see if you get any responses. And definitely, definitely tailor that resume. But the qualifications is huge, because I do have people that go out there and they have an IT resume, just had it done and applied for EO job and didn't understand, why didn't I get the job? Well, your resume wasn't tailored to the duties of the job or the questionnaire, because sometimes I'll take the questionnaire, copy paste that over to the resume, and put the questions into sentences in the resume along with the duties to try and sell this person. And I can usually tell if it's that job's a good fit for them or not.
You can. I've got another email for you, Linda. Mac, thanks for the resume class this morning. I'm learning a ton. Again, like another emailer, I'm embarrassed to say I didn't know a lot of this stuff. But thank you for doing this. Question for Linda. She keeps talking about USA Jobs. Why did she like that job bank so much? So, Linda, why are you a fan of USA Jobs?
Well, USA Jobs is the key to getting federal employment. When there's two types of employment. There's the corporate side of the house, which is, it could be your county, it could be Lockheed, it could be Northrop Grumman, any of those folks. And then you got the federal side of the house, which is all the agencies, DOD, VA, TSA, patent, trademark and patent agencies. USA Jobs is that job bank that you go through to get those federal agency jobs. And that's why there's just two avenues there. Do you want to work federal employment? You go through USA Jobs. Sometimes when you go on USA Jobs and you go to the assessment questionnaire, it will flip you over to that agency's website, you know, be it Park Recreational Service. So the other thing about USA Jobs is some folks that get out that have, you know, 4 years in, they could get a federal job and they could sell back their time and continue using that time to retire with. Other folks [S2] Right. [S1] That get out 20 years, that there's a they can – get credit for their leave. So there's a lot of benefits going the federal route also, besides the corporate route. Corporate route is, you get paid a lot of money, and you're going to work really hard, and you know, you're going to, if you're good at what you do, you'll get promoted. You'll be rewarded. Federal side of the house, you may work your butt off, and the guy next to you might be outside smoking a cigarette. There's a lot of rules and regulations to federal employment. They got the VEOA, the Veteran Employment Opportunity Act, and that gives you 5-point preference when you go for a federal job. The assessment and your resume dictates to how many points you get. Now, you can make up to 100 points when you're applying for a federal job. You can earn up to 100 points, and then if you fall into VEOA, meaning that you've served 3 or more years of active service, preference eligible honorable discharge, they'll add 5 points to that 100 points. So you as a veteran can earn up to 105 points under VEOA.
Boom.
There's another program called VRA, Veteran Recruitment Act. And with that one, you have your disability. You're active. You can serve active duty time. There's no minimal service required on active duty time, but you can't be like just done boot camp. So if you just did boot camp, you don't qualify for the VRA. The VRA is a 10-point preference, so you can earn up to 110 points. So what happens really is Joe Civilian might score a 90 with his resume and on the assessment, and you go in there and you score a 90, and they add 10 points to that 90. So actually you score 100, and you'll make the cert above Joe Civilian. And the same thing with the 5-point preference. If he scores a 90, you know, you score a 90, so you score 89, you add 5 points to the 89. So Joe Civilian, you know, has scored 90 points, and you scored 94 points. So
exactly.
You'll be the one that makes the cert.
To hell with Joe Civilian.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand VRA and VOA, but you need to make sure you fill out that SF-15 and get that credit for those points, because that's what bubbles the veterans to the top. And you'll hear a lot of disgruntled civilians about that. But you know what? You earned it. You sacrificed, and it's yours. And, you know, these programs are out there for a reason, to help you get federal employment. Qualifications are a must. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. Federal employment, USA Jobs, if you want to get into the federal government. Biggest agency in the federal government is DOD. Second biggest agency in the federal government, VA. And then the federal agency I heard that is really great to work for is Patent and Trademark. So, you know, if you're interested in that work environment. And then corporate. You know, corporate is I've seen people get corporate jobs within a week, two months. I've seen people struggle to get federal jobs, to get their resume straightened out and all the paperwork, 4 months. I've had people come back to me that have been applying for up to 2 years, never got referred because it was their resume or what they had uploaded in the system. So, yeah, I talk a lot about USA Jobs because it's seems to be the most popular one out there.
Okay.
You have the other corporate ones with, like, Indeed and all that. That's corporate.
All right, I have another email question for you. Mac, what's the most common 2 or 3 mistakes that she sees on resumes that she unscrews?
Ooh.
Most common mistakes that you see there, Linda?
The word manager. It's spelled, they love to spell it manger, M-A-N-G-E-R. And they'll use spell check, and spell check will not catch that. That's a huge, huge mistake that I've seen on resumes. The other one is definitely the point of contact, not being what they up to par, you know, like I told you about the emails and where this hiring manager can't contact the person.
Right.
And not putting the supervisor's name down. The big one I have seen is that someone will want a federal job, and they'll write a two-page corporate resume for that federal job in bulleted format, and that they'll never make it to past the hiring manager. So I think that's the big one. And I could give you so many. One of them is the tailoring of the resume to the duties of the job announcement, and that's the corporate and federal. Any job announcement you get, you should make sure that those duties are listed in that resume. So yeah, those are a couple. The other one I saw was people, they think they need to put a cover letter on everything. The problem with cover letters is that the hiring managers have enough to read. So unless you're asked for a cover letter, don't put it on there. It's just something that the hiring managers are just going to throw it aside. You know, if you're asked for a cover letter, good to go. Do a cover letter. But if you're not asked for a cover letter, you don't need a cover letter for a federal job. You just don't, not unless it's asked for, because it's just more paperwork for that hiring manager to go through. The other thing is the thank you email. After you go to the interview, let's talk about the interview a little bit. Make sure you get a business card with an email address on it. When you get home, send that person a thank you email. I've seen people get jobs because they were courteous and did that. Mike, on the interview portion, I actually have coached people in interviews. I give them 40 questions to go through. Some of them are kind of corny. But the truth is, a lot of interviewers do not know how to conduct the interview. So it's almost like a murder board with these questions that I go through with people. And when they go in, they recall the questions that were asked. And normally out of 40, 6 are asked from the 40 questions that I give my clients. So kind of spinning off from the resume real quick is when you do go into the interview, that interviewer, some of them do not know how to do the interviews, and they're already intimidated. They know you were in the military.
Right.
So if you walk in there looking like Johnny Cash with a black suit and a white shirt and high and tight and, you know, and you're just reeking of power, the big thing is you need to give that power over to the interviewer. You need to be humble. You need to go in there and understand that they're the ones that have what you want. And I've talked to a few Marines, and I've told them, hey, you got to tone it down. You have to tone it down. They already know that you're in the military, and they can't even imagine having you in their work environment if you walk in like that. So that's huge to tone it down.
Dial that craziness down, okay? Try to act like a human being there, crazy.
Right, because they don't owe you anything. That's the thing you need to remember. They don't owe you anything. Nobody owes you anything. You have to work for it. And when you walk into an interview, I suggest a dark suit, blue suit, dark gray suit. You know, and just be humble. And, you know, it's a conversation. And when you go in for a corporate interview, they're going to speak to the bullets on your resume, and they're going to ask you about those bullets on the resume. The federal interview is mainly, it's going to be, you know, your resume's paragraph format. So it's, you know, it's more of a conversation there too, where they're going to talk to you about your experiences. But your corporate resume is definitely talking points, bulleted points, where they'll see like, hey, it says you did DTS for, you know, an organization of like 50 people.
Right.
You know, do you think you could handle DTS with 100 folks here? You know, so it opens the door. It's the icebreaker. That's what the resume is. It gets you to the show, and that's where you want to go. You want to get into the show.
So. A lot of people will put those airs on, though, thinking that that's what they want to see. They're expecting to see this decisive, confident person, so I need to go there. And so what you're saying is go there and be a decisively confident person, but don't strut it. Walk in there and be humble.
Right.
And I will tell you this. I think that you can tell by the amount of things that you talk about and the type of things that you talk about with the interviewer whether you have a shot or not. If you simply talk about the job, I would tell you don't have a shot. But when they look at you and they say, oh, you have kids? How old? And you say, oh, this is this, and this one's doing this. Oh, really? And then you start having a discussion about whether it be child raising or things like that. Or they look at your resume. I got a job before I went to the Marine Corps. The guy interviewing me at Merrill Lynch had played football. He said, oh, I see you played football in college. I said, yeah. And he said, what position did you play? And I said, I played this. And I said, did you play? And he said, yeah, I played at the University of North Carolina. He said, I broke my back again playing in Notre Dame. I said, oh, what was that like? I love that. So now we're talking about college football. and which was a good thing because he felt comfortable, and I became a human being, and I wasn't just a college puke anymore. And so to me, you go in there as a human being, and as you said, they don't owe you shit. So you need to hit it off with them. You need to show them that you're a pleasant person to work with and to interact with, and hopefully, which opens the door to the second interview, and then where you'll sell yourself again. But I think that, that you selling yourself as a humble, affable, hardworking person is what people want to see. And then that allows you to play it forward from there. So, Linda, first of all, I want to thank you for coming on today. I myself have learned a ton about writing resumes. And, you know, probably the most important thing I learned is I'd spend the $200 to have you write it. No, honestly, okay. No, because, you know, most of us, you know, we agonize and spend hours and hours on our resume, but we don't know shit about, you know, I don't, like the stuff you told me today. You know, I don't, you know, maybe I should have paid attention. Maybe I would have learned that, but I didn't. And so to me, it's easier just to have a professional do it and bring those things to your attention, reconcile them, and then, and to move on, to push it, to play it forward. So,
right.
No. So, first of all, thank you for doing this. How's business?
Business is good. It's slow and it's steady, and that's what I like, because I like to spend time on the resumes, writing the resumes for the clients. It's like I said, it's really slow and steady. So, and you know, I've got a ton of success stories where you know, the veterans were struggling. I've had veterans with PTS that call me all hyped up, and I talked to them, said, okay, you know, you need to do this. And sometimes, you know, that they'll be struggling with getting their benefits from the VA, or it's not just resume writing.
Right.
I mean, it's the whole thing.
Right.
You know, one thing I'd like to say too is if you have gone to school one class, and I know it's difficult to go to school in the Marine Corps, especially if you're starting out. I have had folks that have done 30 years in the Marine Corps, not one college class. But if you've done one college class, I usually list that college class down as pursuing education. Education now is the key. It is the key to everything. Being successful out there, go out there, get your degree, use your TA active duty, and because it's paid for. And then use your other GI Bill when you get out. I had my master's when I got out, and I'm using my post-9/11 GI Bill right now for my PhD.
Wow.
It's possible. I dealt with another Marine yesterday that has a PhD. And there's more of them out there, but it's a job getting a job, and it's a job getting an education. And there's a lot of sacrifices there, but at the end, you know, you have to set your goals. Like, where do I want to be in a year? You know, how many classes do I want to have done by this time next year? And as you chip away at your education, you'll get those degrees. You know, it was not online when I went, when I was active duty. It was total classroom, get off at 16:30, in classroom 17:30. You know, to 2200 at night, dog ass tired, go home, come back, go to crew, work crew, before sun up, you know, working after sundown, do it all again, 3 days a week going to school. So it's online. Take your TA, take advantage of it, get as far as you can in your education while you're in, and then when you get out, use your post-9/11. You know, obviously some people do pass it a little bit on to their children, which is great, but, you know, you got to keep a roof over your head.
Right.
And, you know, if you want to be successful, education gives you credibility. You know, it really, really does. And that's the other thing that, you know, you need to list your education on your resume along with GPA. Some people push back on it. I had a lieutenant colonel. He had a GPA of like a 2.0. And I said, sir, what happened to you? And he said, drugs.
What?
Like, okay. You know?
In college, right? When you went to college.
Yeah, in college, yeah. You know, so he had totally blown his GPA. But, you know, if you have a 3.0 or higher, I highly suggest you put that on your resume. If you're honor society, magna cum laude, it's a great accolade to put on your resume. Also, words you type per minute, put that down there. Some people can't type, you know. 40 is kind of a good range to start with, type 40 words a minute. All the computer classes, not classes, all the computer information you've learned since you've been in the Marine Corps, Microsoft, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, SharePoint. Some people don't know those things. McTIS, all those computer systems need to go on that resume because someone out there might see that and go, wow, we need that person here. So, you know, those, that goes under additional, additional skills. And then if you have been published, if you've had a, been published in a journal entry, that goes on there. The other thing is volunteerism. That's important. I had a hiring manager that would not hire anyone if they hadn't done any type of volunteer service toward the community. Volunteer service, you know, river cleanups, highway cleanups. I put down there, hey, volunteer at a Marine Corps ball ceremony. You know, there's a lot of things you can put down for that. Affiliations, VFW, Society of Human Resource Management, Masons, those are your affiliations. You need to put them on your resume. I'd like to say one thing about the administrator and administration field. If you're interested in human resource management, I did find out that the Supervisory Professional Human Resource Management Certificate, that SPHR is like the bar exam of HR. If you're interested in HR, go get that SPHR certificate. It pulls more weight than a master's degree in HR. That's what I found out. So there's a professional human resource certificate, the PHR, but that's one step below the SPHR. It's a difficult test, but if you get your SPHR, you're a shoo-in for HR jobs.
Wow.
It definitely gives you a lot of credibility. So, yeah, there's a lot of things out there that, and, you know, that can be paid for with your TA, too.
Right.
And your
GI Bill. That's why, you know, it's, again, if you think you're going to get out, right, or if you're even having thoughts, you ought to sit down and make a plan, and you ought to go through, you know, the checklist of, you know, what am I going to do and what can I do now to put myself in a better position. And, you know, and as you said, it's hard while you're on active duty, especially when you're a junior Marine, to do TA classes. But you know what? People do it. You know, and now the online thing makes it easier. So, Linda, first of all, I want to thank you for doing this today. Do you care in the future if when we need resume writing expertise and you're a bit of a job coach that we give you a call and have you back on?
Oh, no problem with that, Mike. You know, it's been a pleasure to speak to you today and get the information out there. This is a really good platform for me to let folks know, you know, this is how you do it. This is how you write your resume. And this will help you get in front of the hiring manager and selection officials to get a job, to be successful.
All right. So just make sure everybody, you tell your friends, listen to All Marine Radio, good stuff here, right?
Right. Absolutely.
All right. All right. Well, Linda, first of all, I want to wish you all the best. And, again, that email address is the Professional Resume Writer, 1775, no spaces in any of that, at AOL.com, and she'll write your resume for $200 a pop, and you're probably getting a lot more than the $200 just from what I've heard today. So, Linda, first of all, God bless you for what you're doing in terms of helping people, and I hope you make a ton of money, and you do very well, and Semper Fidelis, congratulations on your retirement, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Mike, and Semper Fi to you, too.
There you go. All right, we'll do this again. Thanks, Linda.
Take care.
There you go. Linda Fields, All Marine Radio. Yeah, I think after talking to her, I'm paying $200. Sarah McNamara, yeah, U.S. Chamber of Commerce out of Camp Pendleton. Coming up next on the Thursday edition, Transition Thursday, right here on All Marine Radio. Good stuff.